Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So once again, we find ourselves in the book of Romans, found in the New Testament, of course, of our Bible. You may remember it's written by St. Paul, and I described it as 16 chapters of the most glorious truth and wisdom ever written. Written to a diverse network of Christians in Rome who met as church in their homes. Previously, we discovered the problem of the world, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the mark, being made image bearers of God, showing God's love to people. We have fallen short and sinned. We haven't reflected that love into the world as we might. And we all need a saviour. We learned about that problem, and we learned that we might be in one of several places with that problem. We might be in denial of it, saying, no, not me. We might be feeling guilty. Oh, yes, why would God die for me? Both of which are equally not the Jesus way. But we also learned that we might be in acceptance, that we might realise that we too, like everyone else in the entire world, need Jesus, need to be rescued. If you missed any of this, you can catch up with it on the website. You know, for example, if you were like lazing around in Egypt, maybe, you can catch up with it on the website. Where you also find out about the book by Andrew Ollerton up there. Linda was saying to me, she's found it really enjoyable to read that book, really easy to read. I've got a copy if anyone wants to borrow it. I've got a copy at home, but you can pick it up at the usual places. And today we find ourselves thankfully coming out of the valley of sin, as we were last week, heading towards the crux of salvation just down there on the left. Heading what we hope for is the summit of hope. In this book, of course, he uses this analogy of a mountain, and we will go to the summit of hope and then onward to return to our community and to mission. But I have a question for you. I wonder, has anyone here ever been physically rescued by someone else? Yeah, there's a few nods. Yeah. Go on, Faith, you're going to be... Wow, you were cut out of the car by firemen. Wow. You nodded it?
Yeah, when I was a kid, my mum pulled me out of the way of the moving car.
Wow, out of the way. Anyone else want to share anything like that? Oh, Susie. No, I don't. I'm confused. Go on, Susie. For anyone who doesn't know, Susie's my wife, and I've never heard that story before. Let me tell you my story of being rescued. Actually, it relates to Susie's mum. We were building an annex on the side of our house for Susie's mum to come and live in. And I was doing most of the work. Most of the work that we couldn't be seen. Posey's laughing because Ian, her husband, was also helping. And actually redefined the whole project, but that's another story. and one day, one weekend, I needed to get a run at the work on the annex, and so I sent the family out with Susie, I can't remember where, Pig World or whatever it is called, Peppa Pig World, something like that, I don't know where it was. Can't even say it, let alone go there. So I sent them off, and I just wanted to get a good day's work done. And so I headed to the garage at the bottom of my garden, the shed at the bottom of my garden, where all my tools were stored, and actually a lot of the materials that we were using for the annex. And of course, the tool that I needed was right behind some of the materials. Actually, it was right behind a load of plasterboard, at least 30, good old pack of plasterboard. Now, I can lift a plasterboard on my own. They're not heavy to... They're a bit awkward. They're not heavy to lift. But I can't lift 30 or so at a time. And I thought, this is going to take forever to move. So, Bright Spark Max thought, I know, all I need to do is balance the plasterboard on its edge, this pack, and I can reach down and get the tool that I need. So of course I did this, and you all know what's coming. The moment I reached over, the plasterboard came towards me, and with the weight and the momentum it had, I found myself trapped underneath the plasterboard from sort of here down. And I sat there for a moment, realising that this comical moment was all my own fault. Thinking, oh, how did I get myself in this situation? And just laughing at myself. Until I realised, actually, this was not a comical moment. Because what had happened is I trapped my leg against the lawnmower. And despite every effort, I could not move this plasterboard. And my leg was going numb. I was in very real danger, at very least, of losing my leg. So I began to think, what can I do? I knew the guys weren't going to be back for hours. I was in the house on my own. And so I thought, I only have one option.
Shout.
Shout for help. Have you ever heard how pathetic it is to shout for help? You start off like, help. Help! And you think, no one's going to hear that. And then you have to shout for help. And it took a long time, but actually one of my neighbours did come, but it did take a long time for them to come, because I needed to build up, or I needed to drop the pride and build up the desire to shout for help, as it were. And so I shouted for help. And as he came, he just lifted one board at a time off of me. One board at a time. And I could feel the weight ease, and I could become freer. And I was completely free. The whole situation has never, as you might imagine, left my mind. Yes, it was scary. It was painful. It was definitely embarrassing. And I felt helpless. Literally, inability to help myself. Helpless, you know. Of course, once he'd lifted all the weight and the burden off of me, actually, I felt elated and all the other feelings went away. I felt joyous and I felt grateful. I wonder if any of you have ever needed saving. Last time we spoke about Romans, that's where we left it, didn't we? We left it at the point where we all needed saving. The problem of the world is our problem as well. That we, being made image bearers of God, are in it. We have not been reflecting that love and that glory to others. We have sinned. We've fallen short. We've been stuck under the weight of that sin. And now our only hope is to shout for help. Apparently, salvation is not a DIY project. Or as Paul wrote actually 2,000 years ago, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. There's no difference between a Jew or anyone else. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we can all be set free by what Jesus has done for us. That is God. God isn't a wagging finger teacher or a wagging finger parent saying, here's where you've mucked up again. God is a God who gets down in the muck and the mire with us and says, come on, let me dig you out of this. That is the God that we worship. God highlights the problem, but he is also the solution. That's what I would call good news. But in truth, it's actually quite an offensive message to many people in our society today. For many today, too many as it were, it's offensive to say that the way I live my life is not good enough. To many, it's offensive to say that I have fallen short of being all I could be. To many, it's offensive to say that the way I act may hurt others. To many, it's offensive to say, I cannot rescue myself. And offensive though it may be to our sensibilities, that doesn't make it any the less true. And there's nothing new to find in this good news offensive. Even the Pharisees, the teachers of Israel, found it offensive. Even after Jesus has performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Jesus, the Messiah that the Jews have been looking for, Christ himself, God himself, stood in front of them, and they still could not believe. Is it any wonder that many people we know and love, even though Jesus has stood with them, find it difficult to believe? Is it any wonder? Because we're not in a one-sided battle, are we? And they weren't alone either. Paul gets to the point in Romans 4 where he's almost in desperation quoting different people. And he uses Abraham to show the Jews that even Abraham was not holy enough. When shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, everything they did was built on Abraham, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, if he was saved by what he had did, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Despite all that Abraham did, it wasn't his works that brought him salvation. The whole of the Jewish faith was based upon this man. And the Pharisee of Pharisees, Paul, says he couldn't earn his way to Jesus. I'm a good person wasn't even good enough for Abraham. If in fact Abraham was forgiven and freed, not by what he did, he had something to boast about, but not before God. There's not one of us that can lift that weight off of us. The burden of us cannot be lifted. Not Abraham, not Mother Teresa, not you, and certainly not me. Paul carries on speaking about Abraham as an example. For them, you see, Abraham was the most holy person that had come, along with Moses, before the Messiah who would come. He's using him as an example to say, look, even Abraham can't earn his way to God. Therefore, the promise has come by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, anyone who comes after Abraham. Not only to those who are the law, not only to the Jews, but for all those who have the faith of Abraham. You're going to hear Paul's desperation for these people to get it, can't you? I mean, don't you have desperation for some of your loved ones to get it? I have desperation for these kids when I stand in front of them at the schools to get it, to understand. It's not what they can do. It's what God did. It's what Jesus has done. It's not that they're holy or they have to be holy. It's what God has done, that he is holy, that Jesus hung on the cross for them. The day I realised it, I couldn't earn my way to God, was the day that I really felt the burden be lifted off. Can you imagine if my neighbour had turned up to that shed where I was under the pile of plasterboard and I said, oh no, it's okay John, I've got this covered. He'd be well within his right and say, Matt, you have not got this covered. But instead, one by one, he lifted my burden off of me, and one by one I became freer. If I'd sent him away with his offer of freedom, I think I literally would have been mad, wouldn't I? But instead, I allowed him to do it. That was salvation for me in that moment. And that, I think, is a great analogy of the crux of our salvation here. Jesus frees us up the moment that we accept him. The moment that we will say, "Oh, Lord, I mucked up. I finally realise it's you who can save me." That's what we call justification. That our sins are just as if we had not done them. Justification. Instant justification. We make the mistake, though, of telling people that actually from there on in everything's going to be hunky-dory. And if you've been a Christian for 2 minutes or more, you know that it's not. I still make mistakes. I still need to turn to Jesus on a daily basis. I sin, and I have to say, I mucked up. And instantly again, I am justified. That's why Paul uses Abraham once more. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death from our sins and was raised to life for our justification. When we turn to Jesus, we are justified. But life to the full is so much more than that. I think we focus way too much on that, actually. Life to the full is so much more than that. Because actually, as we turn to Jesus again and again and again, we become more like him. We become more image bearers of God. Every time I turn to Jesus rather than do what I was going to do, or every time I turn to Jesus after I have done so, I become more an image bearer of God, just as you do. That is called sanctification. That we become more like Jesus day by day. Not that we are Jesus, we know we're not. I've got a sign above my desk. Did I say this last week? I've got a sign above my desk. It says, "Everyone needs a saviour, and it's not you." It's taken a while to learn that one. We all need a saviour. Justification and sanctification, as we get to be more like Jesus every day. That, my friends, is freedom. That is life to the full. Justification instantly, sanctification as we journey with Jesus. I think the question for all of us is, like I had to with the plasterboard, can we get over our pride? Can we get over our pride enough not to be offended by Jesus? Can we accept the greatest gift that we could ever hope for? We accept Jesus.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.